years before the current refugee and migrant crisis in Europe. An event happened in Norway that changed forever the image of shy, soft-spoken Norwegians, often joked about on public radio. In July of 2011, Anders Breivik detonated a bomb in front of a government building in Oslo and then methodically went about the mission of shooting almost 70 children at a summer camp. Breivik claimed he was striking a blow for cultural purity against a Europe being invaded by Muslims.
Well, the first I said to the court on the 16th of April is that I do not recognize this court because you received your mandate from political parties that support multiculturalism.
Those were the curious rantings of Anders Breivik at the conclusion of his trial in 2012, where he was found sane and sentenced to 21 years in prison. Asna Seristad is a war correspondent who was called away from the war in Syria to write in exhaustive detail the book One of Us, the story of Anders Breivik and the massacre in Norway. The ordeal taught her how we throw around terms like radicalization without really thinking, and that we forget about the sincerity and hope that all migrants from war zones bring to their new homes, regardless of the suspicions they might find.
We talk about the combination lock when you see who will become a terrorist, who will become a mass murderer. There's never one factor. It's a mixture. And of course, the question is, Breivik, was he an anomaly or is he part of a trend? Is he starting a trend? He's an extreme version of the most extremist trend that we see. And there is a growing movement of right-wing extremism in Europe. But even in Europe, there's no support for Breivik. Only a couple of places, like in Russia, Eastern Europe, and that's also where you see the big divide between the welcoming or non-welcoming of the refugees. It goes between the East and the Western Europe.
One of the amazing things that comes from your book is when you turn the attention to the victims, particularly the victims who came to Norway from the Middle East. I mean, they're interest in assimilating, in being a part of Norway, in being members of the community, couldn't have been more sincere. What's your insight about what you learned about the victims and thinking about the people who are coming to Europe to get away from the violence in their own countries?
Yes, it was important for me to tell that exact story because Breivik wanted to rid Europe of Muslims, all Muslims. Either they would have to convert or they would have to get killed or be deported. So his enemies was like one of these two refugee girls from Kurdistan who came as toddlers to Norway, who did their best. They signed up with football and dancing classes and they learned the local dialects. And it's like their dream was to become Norwegians, was to become, you know, one of us.
Why doesn't Europe understand that this welcoming and this diversity is possibly a strength rather than a weakness?
Well, I think we also can't put all of Europe in the same country. It's not like the US. It's different countries with different histories and values. And there's this one divide between the East and the West, the Eastern Europe who really doesn't want to receive any refugees. And then you'd have a country like Sweden, who has received 100,000 Syrian refugees over the last couple of years. But then you also have a problem like in France, many Muslims feel they're still second-class citizens. And even though you have just a few percentages of Muslims in France, you have 60 to 70% Muslims in the prisons. So there is definitely a problem of integrating on equal terms. I think something you have achieved in the US is probably that people wanting to become Americans, whereas here they will always be refugees. But when you see the radicalization that's going on now, it's never the first generation, it's the second generation. You know, young people seeing how their parents failed. How their parents, they were never integrated anyway. They see that. But it's different stories. You know, you have London, which is cosmopolitan and it's multicultural. You have some cities that manage and then definitely some that don't. And when you look at Breivik, he comes from a country with very few refugees. We have under the half of the average of Europe. So we can't really say that he did this because the country was flowing over of refugees or Muslims. It's in a way of thinking, and fascism can grow in any communities.
Do you think the impact of the rhetoric from the right wing in Europe discourages immigrants who finally do make it into Europe from being open, and maybe encourages them to hunker down in their own secret communities and thereby increase the level of mutual suspicion between both groups?
I mean, that is the fear, and that would be tragic if it happens. And of course, we will never get this society where we all agree, but we have to try. We need to get to know each other. We need to talk, because the path of radicalization is always the same. It's to collectivize the others. They are different from us. We are better. They are something else. We can never live in the same worlds. And I think that is something that we just have to deal with, not to be able to say, like Breivik, when he was in the trial asked about his murders, he said, no, these were no murders. This was execution of enemies, of traitors.
Åsne Seierstad is a war correspondent and author of One of Us, the story of Anders Breivik and the massacre in Norway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.